Today's daf is daf Samach Hey, and we're holding at one quarter of the way down. Omar Abaye. So we're continuing to discuss the relationship of ancillary payments that turn out to be viewed as a rebate, such as giving him a discount, even though that kind of discount would have been perhaps permissible under other circumstances. We spoke about the way that it looks like a rebate. We answer giving things which can be seen as illicit. So, Omar Abaye, Haiman Damasik Zusi de Rebite Bechavre. If somebody now owes a rebate, he's coming to, he's collecting rebate from a friend, and remember that we, as we're going to see, we paskin like Rebbe Elazar, that rebate kitzutza is yotze b'dayanim. And over here it's talking about rebate kitzutza. V'ka'az v'chite arba girive bezuza b'shuka. And chitim are being sold for 4 units for a zuz in the open market. And for the zuz that he owes in rebate, this guy gives 5 grive of chitim. And that way he pays him a little bit extra. So here's my zuz, I'll give you a little bit more. Ki mafkina mine, if then it comes to court, and the court recovers the rebate because it was rebate ktsutsa, so then mafkina mine arba'a, ki mafkina mine, what we take away from him is only 4, because 4 is the value. It's the zuz that he paid in rebate. The other part, idach, the other one, that he gave them as a particular gift. He was giving him a special cheap rate, and there's no reason why this guy should have to give that part back. He's basically paying cash. There's going to be like 4 units. 4 units is worth the zuz. Rav Amar, not true. Chamisha mafkina mine. To me, karah b'torat ribita ati liyade. Basically, this was born in sin. The whole thing was a payment of rebate. The fact that you gave him a little bit more and that it was worth actually more than the zuz that you owed in rebate is irrelevant. Whatever it was paid as a rebate payment goes out b'dayanim if the rebate that it was paid for was a rebate ktsutsa, even though the ktsitsa wouldn't have included this lechatchila. The Omar Rabbi, another example of this issue would be, and basically this follows Abaye's shita before. Abaye is basically saying that a person is going to have to give back rebate that he collected in court. He's giving back the monetary value of the rebate. Why should he give back 5? He give back the zuz. If he wants to give back the zuz by giving back 4, what's wrong with that? The same thing is true of a guy, let's say, who accepted, in lieu of the rebate payment, he accepted a shirt, okay? So, Haiman the Masik Arba Zuzi the Rebita Bachavri, you have like Lima Begabai. And instead, the guy gave him the shirt off his back. So, now came Afkirimine. When we recover this in court, we don't recover the shirt, we recover the value of the 4 zuz. That's all. That's what he owes him. So, Arba'am Mafkinimine, Glima lo Mafkinimine. We don't have to take away the actual shirt that he gave him. Whereas Rav Amar, not true. Glima Mafkinimine, my taima? Because again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to uproot the concept in people's minds, making money off a rebate. This guy's going around walking with this shirt, and everybody who sees it says, aha! So he's wearing the rebate shirt, but the fact that he paid for it subsequently is irrelevant. We need to get rid of that shirt. Let's see, a guy is going to collect now 12 zuz of rebate. So this person who is paying the rebate says to him, look, I have a chotzer, and I'm going to rent you that chotzer for 12 zuz a year. And, of course, you don't pay because I owe you that 12 zuz. Now, the truth is that the chotzer actually on the open market really only fetches 10. So he had a chotzer to meet Gerabi Asara, and this person accepted it for 12. Okay, fine. You know, I'll pay you a little bit extra because, I mean, after all, you're giving it to me as a rebate payment. All right, fine, we'll settle it that. So now the other guy takes him to court and wants his money for the rental. So now he says, wait a minute over here. I'm going to overpay for this chotzer. This chotzer was only worth 10. I mean, the reason I accepted it at 12 is because, look, I wasn't paying any money out of pocket. You know, I figured, okay, fine. We'll settle at 12. You know, I'm going to sit here and argue with you over the... But if I've actually got to pay for it, what are you, crazy? I'm going to overpay? Why would I overpay? So, ki mafkinamine, tracer mafkinamine. Nonetheless, says Rava, he's got to pay the full 12 that he agreed to pay. Omale Ravach, I mean, Difti Ravina, I don't get this psak. Why can't he say, the lender, Lamaleki Agra, the reason that I accepted, Hachi, this overblown rate for your chatzar, davik amishtar shili. It's because I was coming my way for free, basically, as payment for my own profits. Of course, they were ribit profits. So hashtar lo amishtar shili. But, I mean, if I'm not going to get it on that basis, and I'm expected to pay out of pocket, why would I pay more than anybody else? I'm not that stupid. So kiri agri kuli amahu di agarna. I only want to pay what everybody else would pay. So explain that to me. Said Ravina Mishum the Amale, because the guy says that the insight into your psychology is irrelevant. You accepted a rental at 12. It's not my business why you accepted the rental at 12. So now pay up to 12. Marbina la sachar ve'in marbina la mecher. Now this is remarkable. Somebody who rents a property from you, you can actually say that, look, if you pay me up front, I'm going to give it to you for less, but if you pay me by the month, then you're going to pay more. And that's not a problem. But if you sell the same property with that, pay me now and it's 1,000, and pay me later and it's 1,200, that's awesome. Ketzad. So you can't be Marban Amecha. Ketzad. He's killed with Chatzero. You make a deal renting out your Chatzero, and you say to him like this, Imiak Shevet Arotele, if you pay me up front, then it's only going to cost you Areo Lechabe Eser Shleim Neshana. It's going to cost you 10 Sela a year. But if you're going to pay by the month, Im Shal Chodesh B'Chodesh, then it's going to cost you a Sela for every Chodesh. So they say, okay, so in other words, what you're doing is, you're saying is you're going to charge him more if he pays later. So then that's Agar Nata. That's perfectly okay. But if you sell him a field, look, if you pay me up front, then you can get it for 1,000. But if you want to pay later, at the time of the go-run, when you start getting your money in from the investment, then you're going to have to pay me 12 money. So it's going to be a 20% rebate, it boils down to, for allowing him to buy it on credit. Then it's usher. Why is that? Says the Gemara, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. I mean, it's boiled down to exactly the same issue. You're charging him more, right? Because he's paying later. That's called agar natar, the schar for hamtana. Natar means to wait. Schar for allowing the money to sit around in the other guy's rishas. It's exactly the same case. Rabbi Rav Yezu Damar Tavar said, it's not exactly the same case at all. We're always agreed, are we not, that if a man needs money, and he makes this insane sale, which he's selling his merchandise 50% off, but it's cash on the barrel, had no returns. Absolutely no problem of rebate with that. Man is strapped for cash. He can sell something at whatever price he wants. Now, that's exactly what's happening over here. But in order to establish what the accurate price is, obviously, we need to look at the market. Now, if the market defines a price in terms of its current value, and that is what price means, so then if you're telling him you're going to be paying later more, so then obviously you're charging for the credit. You're allowing him to keep the money. He's going to pay more. But if the price is defined as the price at the end, and now you're going to say, but if you pay me up front, I'm selling it to you for less, then that's just a fire sale. I'm plotting for money. So if I can establish that actually you don't owe me the money until later, and I'm going to give it to you for cheaper if you pay me up front, that's a fire sale. It's not rebate. And that is exactly the meaning of this Mishnah, say Raz Rabban Rav Yosef. Clearly what the Mishnah is saying is that rental is not due until the end of the tkufa of the rental. And therefore, if you're willing to rent for less because the guy pays you up front at the beginning of the rental, that is simply a sale for less than value in exchange for cash. It's done all the time. One moment. So Shchirut Eina Mishlemet El Besof. Let's first take a look at the idea. So Shchirut Mitzad Habdin is not owed until the end of the tkufa. Over here, the guy needs money. So, it's not time yet for him to collect on a non-existent schirut. It hasn't happened yet. So, therefore, what he's doing is lav agar nata. You can't call that, well, I'm going to charge you for keeping your money. What do you mean I'm going to charge you for keeping the money? It's my money. I get to keep it anyway. But elamai, it's what he's really doing is telling him, the truth is mishvuda chishavya. If I tell you that it's going to cost you a sela a month, that's because that's the price. And that's what it's worth. Now, if I'm telling you I'm going to give it to you for 10 for the year, what it means is, this that he's saying, I'm willing to give it for 10 if you pay me now, that is a sale. And uzuli udekamazigabe. That means he's making it cheaper because he needs cash. That's not agar nata. Whereas in the seifa, when you're dealing with a sale, obviously when you sell something, the guy's supposed to be paying you. So now if you tell him, but I'm going to give you credit, you don't have to pay me for 12 months. if it costs more money at the end of 12 months, we know perfectly why it costs more money. You're adding money for the value of the person keeping your money. That's exactly what agar natar means. Because when it comes to a sale, the value is determined by the money that would be paid now. And if you're giving it to him now for less, then that's the real price. If later for more, then that's the wrong price. So therefore, the Sefer, given this Vini Nino, when you're dealing with a sale, and Mi'ikar Hadin Boila Mishkel Domi Me'achshav, he owes you the money now, as soon as he took it. Hilkach, if you're charging him more for paying later, so obviously that's Agar Natala, you're charging him for the credit. The Asur.
Is that how it's the definition?
That's the definition. No. Because the definition, Amar Rava Daku Bar Rabbanu Bar Milta, the Rabbanu were medayek to find the makor for this. Yukmu Akra, they found the makor actually in a pasuk, because the Torah says Kisachir Shana Bishana Niyemo. This is then of an Eved Ivri, the lawyer Dena Befarach. What does that mean? Kisachir Shana Bishana. Treat him as if he is a hired hand. Fine. So just say no. Just say Kisachir. What do you mean Kisachir Shana Bishana? I mean, it's completely irrelevant words. The point is that what it's saying is Schirut Shal Shana Zo. What it's saying is that when you have a deal of rental, a rental of services, a rental of land, or whatever it is, there is nothing that is being paid for if you're paying it up front. So what you pay is for what you took, but you only took it at the end. So mamela, the schirut is mishtalemet in the next year. That's the point of it, it's mishtalemet in the next year. So if you're making it cheaper, if you do it the other way, then it's indeed a special deal you're giving him because you need money, and you're taking off from the price. The opposite of a mech.
That would be even in a case like in our days now, where you usually pay the rent at the beginning of each month.
Yes, this month. Here we are. We're at rental.
That's philosophy. That's philosophy.
It's less weird. Somebody will say it even though.
Barnea, you're on the ball. Gentle, gentle.
We're from our sponsor.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, but that's fine. That's fine, because what I'm doing is I'm selling you something cheaper because I want money. That's not called a loan. Otherwise you could say, well, I'm not allowed to buy anything on sale because the only reason the guy's selling it is because he wants cash. So that's not my problem why he wants to sell at this price. He needs cash. Very good.
A discount for cash.
It's a discount on something. So he's giving me a discount for cash. It's not called agarnata. That's true, but I'm being mozeal. If I'm mozeal, it's because I have a right to sell, and a rental is a type of sale, for less. So I'm doing it for less. What do you care? It's just a sale. It's a sale for cash. So in other words, the one who is the provider can sell at whatever price he wants in order to get cash. That's the yesod over here. Because we're not really talking about a halva'a. For us to look at a sale as a loan of money to the provider because he's going to pay me for that loan, there's no reason to do that. Remember, the whole thing anyway is a derabonan, because this is derech mekach umemkar. So what the rabbonan are saying is derech mekach umemkar speaks for itself. That's the idea.
It doesn't make a difference now if we have a different derech.
No, because the shaila is, how is it defined? I mean, it may be that stam etnai shebemamon, you know. I mean, if lamaisa, if a guy says that that the going rate for the house is, let's say, $500 a month, but I'm going to let you pay at the end of the year if you pay $600, then ain't nothing on it. Because then you've defined the going rate. That's true. And it's clearly agarnata. I mean, we'll see it. A lot has to do with how it's defined. That's the sugya that's coming up right now. Omer of Nachman. So the Mishnah says, in Lagorin Bishnei Mezraman, if you raise the price for the guy paying later, then it's Osir. Omer of Nachman, Tarsha, is sure, it's interesting, there is a modern-day Arabic word, Tarsha, that means exactly this. Tarsha means a cherish in modern Arabic. Deaf, or deaf and dumb. So the idea of a Tarsha is that the rebit element does not speak, or can't be heard. And that is a very important idea, because again, the way in which the deal is constructed is what causes us to look and to pay attention to the rebit component of the deal. So what a tarsha means, the simple tarsha, is that if a deal is not defined as being different, if you pay now or you pay later, so then, even though lamaisa, the price has been raised in order to include credit. So let's say a company says, no money down, 12 payments, being sold for this, it's great. If they say, if you pay up front, it's this, but if you want it on this deal, then you have to add, not great. It's exactly the same thing. But it's not reflected anywhere. All that we see is that they're selling at this price, and they don't want their money now. Okay, that's great. So they're saying, look, we got a great sale. You buy this fridge, it's 10,000 shekel. You can pay it out of 10 payments and so on. And you can't say, but I'm ready to pay now the whole thing. What would it cost the whole thing? We're not talking about that. I'm not selling it that way. Okay, so then fine, then it's hidden. It's quiet. Nobody hears the rebate. Eitve, Rami Bar Chomel Rav Nachman. Rami Rav Ukva Bar Chomel Rav Nachman. I mean, but the Mishnah says that if you're charging more for the fact that it's Legoren, Bishnei Masar Mon, it's Aser, and you're saying it's Mutter. He says, no, that's the whole point, is that what is being done is not as important as how it's being done. In the case of the Mishnah, note that two values were mentioned. So Hatam Katzla, he defined it for him. He said, if you pay up front, it's X, and if you pay at the end of the period, it's X plus 20%. No, that's Rebit. But the meaning of Tarsha is that nobody ever discusses that. So it's low katzle. Since the entire idea over here is the Rabbanit sense of various elements of Rebit, Avak Rebit, Aramat Rebit, and so on, this doesn't have that smell attached to it, despite the fact that we all understand that there's credit cards built into something. Omrif Papa, I'll tell you one thing. Tarsha Didi is Shari. For sure, the way I do it, it's Mutter. I mean, even if for other people you'd say everybody knows that the bottom line is you're charging more. So you may disagree with the halacha that Rav Nachman is quoted as saying that any Tarsha is Mutter. My Tarsha for sure is Mutter. Because, look, let's be honest. I'm a rich guy, and my beer is perfectly good in the summer. I get 50% more in the summer for my beer. I don't need the cash. If somebody comes to me now and says, I'm plotzing for some of that beer, but I don't have any money, and I sell it to him, and I say, doesn't matter, pay me in the summer when you make your money. And what does it cost? Give him the summer prices, obviously. Why in the world should I do him a favor that costs me money? I'm not getting the cash, and I can keep the beer. Sell it then. See, he's thirsty, so I'm doing him a favor. No? So you're going to come to me and say, uh-huh, well, you're being paid extra money because of the fact that you allowed him to keep the money. I don't want his money. I don't need his money. I'm happy to sell the beer during the summer and close the store now. It's a public service. So therefore, the Tarsha Didi is Mutter. And remember, we said yesterday, Shkuli Tivutech V'Shadriach Kizri. We had a shita that we saw yesterday, Rav Yosef, in which if the supposed beneficiary of Rebit can show that there's no Tarbit, which was like, we said, we even thought that would include a Sa'a B'Sa'a, but we said, okay, Sa'a B'Sa'a doesn't include, but sales it certainly includes. If I could say, I said, you're doing me a favor? I have cash, remember that? I can go anywhere I want, I can get this for cash. Don't do me any favors. So, Mamel, it's not shy to say that I'm a beneficiary of your agreeing to provide on a lower price here. It's the opposite. I'm not a beneficiary at all. My time, I'll tell you why. Look, beer doesn't go bad. So, Shichroi, my beer doesn't go bad. I mean, yeah, that obviously the Gold Star stuff, I mean, that's not. Shichroi, my beer, low pus. Never goes bad. Zuzi lo tzarich, now I'm a rich guy and I don't need any cash. So I'm doing people a favor. I see my beer as a public service. And it's a great attitude. So anahu teka avidam yol teka bilokeach. I do a favor for the buyer, you know. Omele Rav Sheshes Breder Vier of Papa, who says that it's correct la halacha to measure tarbit in terms of yourself. I mean, maybe we should look at it in terms of the buyer as well. I mean, my chazi marta kazal batar didach. Why is everything about you in this world, Rav Papa? I'm not getting any money. I'm doing favors. I mean, the buyer knows only one thing. If he had cash, he'd be able to get this beer for 50% less right now. So the bottom line is zil batar didudi ilahavi lu zuzi. He knows if he had cash in pocket. I mean, he'd be able to buy at the current prices, which is 50% less. And now that because he doesn't have cash, so now Shaklikiyukin will come in. He's going to pay for the price. He's taking the beer now at the later price. So I don't see why you load 15 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. That's it. The poor get poorer. You know, if I had my cash, I wouldn't have to spend it all in the pub. But now they're charging me double. That's, you know, that's why they call it. All pubs are called on Chamber of Pub.
Oh,
it's all pub. Omrib Kamas.
There's no, we don't know.
What's that? No, I mean, clearly that's the question we raised earlier. How to measure Tarbit? Omrib Kama, but for sure, my Tarsha is 100% Mutter. Now, what Reb Chama used to do is a little bit complicated. Basically, Reb Chama used to have merchandise, let's say furniture, that he would buy in China. He would sell this furniture in Europe, let's say so. He sells it in Finland, Richie buys it. You know? Mika's mother was lived to yesterday. Right? So, Mika's mother. Richie's wife. So anyway, so you would sell the furniture in Finland, okay? People would buy the furniture from him in China at finished prices for their store in Finland. Then they would sell it in Finland. They wouldn't pay him. They would sell it in Finland, make money, buy material in Finland that they would export from Finland to China, make their money when they got back to China, and then they would pay Rav Chama. So Rav Chama says, even though Lamaisa, I'm charging them finished prices in China, which is very similar to the idea of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, I'm charging them summer prices because they don't have money now. And that's exactly what's happening. You say, so isn't there a problem with that? No, here for sure there's no problem. I'll tell you why. My time, because as long as they haven't paid, the stuff is still stamped now with the word Rav Chama Industries. Rav Chama Industries gets you a long way in this world, you see. First of all, Mechas lets you through, okay? They don't stop fussing with people like Rav Chama. Somebody's working for Rav Chama gets right through. This used to be, when you would come to Montreal, yeah, just until very recently, and they would ask you, where are you going? You say, I'm going to Tush. When you land in the airport, they wave you right through. No Mechas. Amazing. So Tosh is a little Hasidish town right outside of Montreal. So the Tosh of a Rebbe. So Reb Chama, as soon as they saw Reb Chama's stuff, they would let him through. Not only that, but because of the covet of Reb Chama, they would not allow other stores to open until people who were selling Reb Chama's stuff would be finished selling. So it's a major advantage. Obviously, the reason that the guy's willing to do it is not agar notar. The whole thing is worthwhile for him. Because as long as it's in my rishus, first of all, if anything happens to it, it's on me. It's not on him. He gets through mechas, and he also has an easier time selling. Nu. So there for sure there's no shaila. There's no, I mean, to claim that even though no mention has been made of credit, to claim that it's all about agar notar when there's so many other advantages is ridiculous. So if I can establish some other reason where it not only hasn't been mentioned, we didn't say a word about credit, but there's also other issues that are involved, there for sure you don't have to worry about a tarsha. So my time, Nechale, they're very happy to Leku Bereshuti that it should still have Chama Industries on it, because Kol Echadaka Azle Shafkilu Mechsa, first of all, wherever they go, Mechas doesn't bother them. And Venokot Lushuka, also they hold the market until it's sold. Now the halacha indeed is like Rav Chama, and the halacha is like Rav Elazar, and we paskin indeed, as we see, the whole sugya has been assuming today, that you can recover Ribit Ketutza in court. That was the whole question between Babai was said by and Rava. What precisely is recoverable? What format of the interest? But obviously it is recoverable, and that's Rav Elazar Shita. And also we pass it like Rabbi Yanai, who says Mali Hain Mali Demeh. So according to Rabbi Yanai, remember, commodity trading, even though there was no real purchase of the commodity, is viewed as an actual trade, and you can get your money back. Not the commodity back, because since if you would have gotten the commodity back, it would be mutter. What's the difference if you get the money that commodity is worth instead of the actual commodity? Say, well, it doesn't look nice. You handed over money, $1,000, you took back $1,200. No, so, well, I mean, where's the buying and selling? There could have been buying and selling. I mean, he didn't want to buy it. It's his problem. I gave him money for commodities. That's what I said. That's exactly what Rabbi Yonai Paskins, and indeed because of that, we had the whole complex business about can you translate it into another commodity, keep taking contracts, and so on. Indeed, Rabbi Yonai is right. We saw that in Rav Hoshaya's right.
The crowd would send back something to China?
Yeah, he would send back raw materials, whatever he bought and that were needed, or maybe electronics. You know, once upon a time, they didn't do the electronic stuff in China. Now, obviously, not China doesn't need anything, you know. I mean, they export everything from people to electronics. On the contrary, that's why he has so much time to learn Gemara. It's the beer that makes him his money, and he sits back and the pubs work on their own. He didn't call himself a pubber for nothing. Next mission.
I went to the house with a six-car garage, but that was a beer distributor.
I can't hear.
The only house I've been in that had a six-car garage was up a beer distributor.
The beer?
Yeah. Wow.
There you go. The Gemara says it's a great business.
Macharlo
et asadet. How about a case where you give money down for something, you don't pay until later. So you sell a field, put money down. The seller says to you, you know what? When you are able to bring the rest of your money, you can bring the money v'tala chilcha. And then you can have yours. Now, it's not clear what have yours means. Take possession then, take possession retroactively. You're going to take the rest in possession. There's three possible interpretations here of that statement. It's not clear. Did you buy prorated value in the field, and then you can take the rest of the field? Have you bought nothing in the field except an option to buy it when you put your money down, and then you'll take possession on the whole thing? Or when you pay your money, then this sale now will be completed, so it's retroactive. Now, obviously, this makes tremendous differences in terms of what happens in the interim, right? Let's say, for instance, that he's telling him that if you pay, then you are able to take possession retroactively. Okay, now what happens? Who's going to, meanwhile, be keeping this field and using the payroll? But let's say, for instance, the buyer starts using the payroll. Well, the mogul says, I don't want to get into rebate. You don't want to get into rebate, so listen what happens. The lokeach ends up defaulting. So he says, look, I can't pay, give me my money back. You give him the money back. So it turns out that you were paying him for keeping his money because he was eating the payroll. Now let's say that he pays the whole thing and you were taking the payroll. So now it turns out, if it was retroactive, that the payrot indeed were being taken by you because of the fact that he hadn't paid up yet. But then it's agar nata. So if you do it that way, it's for sure there's no way that anybody can have the payrot. Because some way or another, somebody's going to end up possibly paying ribit. Now it's true, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, that in sales, tzadachat beribit is mutar. This wouldn't be a problem. But if it's not going to leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, and in fact it could come to ribit one way or the other, there would be only one thing to do. The payroll would have to go into escrow as part of the deal. And then whoever ends up being the one that turns out to have owned the field takes the payroll also. That would be the only way to avoid paying rebate in these circumstances. Somebody, perhaps, paying rebate in these circumstances. So the other way, of course, if you're only going to take possession at the end, so then if indeed the lokeach is eating payrot, then for sure it's the agar notar of the down payment. But then if the mocha was eating payrot, it would be okay. If we're talking about prorated, so then obviously we'll prorate the payroll also and everything's fine. You gave me 20% down, take 20% of the payroll. Then everything's okay. You owe, right now you own 20% when you pay, whatever you pay, we'll prorate the field as per your payment. Okay. Then there's no problem at all as long as we maintain the prorated ownership throughout. So, we don't know what it means, and the Gemara is going to actually get into the details of how the deal was constructed. So, Machalo et asadev atano miksad damim v'amarlo, ematay shetirtze, havei ma'ot, and tolet shelcha. That is asur. What is asur? Not clear. I mean, obviously, it's asur because somebody who's not supposed to is eating the payrot. How about if he lends him using the field as collateral, so he makes a mortgage? And he says to him like this, if you don't pay up by 3 years, then the field becomes mine. So then, indeed, areyu shalo. Then he can't now come after that and say, "Ooh, got the money together. That's nice, but I'm not in the mood for selling." As opposed to, by the way, remember that we said because Vasita Yashar Vatov, that if a court collected a field, not that you had originally made a deal like this on a mashkanta, so then in Achinami, because of the Takanat Rabbanan, we force you to accept the money back. Remember that was a Narda. The Takana, for 12 months, some said, Anaminarda, we hold it. It's always Chayzer, but not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here a Mashkanta. And indeed, Kachay Abaitas Ben Zonin Oset. Alpi Chachamin, there's nothing wrong with this. So it gives a guy a window in which he's able to not lose his field. He desperately needs money. So this is perfectly okay. You're doing a guy a favor. And in the end, of course, we're going to see what we do about the Perot in the intro. This we already began discussing before. But let's take that opening case. We said that it's Oser in a case where you take a down payment. Who is the one? The milchel perot that makes Ravuna Amar. Well, I'll tell you. It's talking about that the seller is eating the perot. Rav Onan says, I don't care who's eating the perot. The perot are either an escrow or bust. Because if somebody, I don't care if it's the buyer or the seller, eating the perot, then we have a problem. So Rav Onan Amar Mishal Shinata Perot. Now, the truth is, as I explained to you a moment ago, there's no machlokas over here. Because depending on how we understand the deal, obviously, it's going to matter to us where the problem is. The low pligi. Hodi Amar, lechi maitita kni, and it depends. If what you're saying is, look, the field is sold to you now, if you pay, okay, so then you have a problem. Either way, if the lokeach now starts eating right away, and you say, gosh, you can't go wrong. That's not true. You can go wrong. Because since you made the sale now conditional upon the payment, And unless that payment is made, there's no sale. So what happens if the payment isn't made? He gets his money back. But meanwhile, if he gets his money back, and he's been eating the perot, the buyer, so why has he been eating the perot? I'll tell you why. Because it's worth it for me as the seller to get his money and pay him with the perot, despite the fact that I'm going to be paying back the money. Fancy way of saying ribit, basically. Turned out to be a loan, and okay, so you say, but tzadachat beribit is mutar, but it's up to you. As Tosis explained, or it's not necessarily, according to Rashi's explanation. I mean, okay, clearly our problem here is not going to be a problem of the Rabbi Yehuda. We're assuming that the Mishnah is going to leave the Rabban. So if you say, however, that at the point that the money from that point forward, you'll be king of the guy, but the mocher could eat the payroll, and that would not be a problem. It's the lokeach that would create a problem in that case. And that's what Rav Hanan is saying. Rav Hanan is saying nobody can eat payroll. Now, Tony Rav Safra beribit devei Rabbi Chiya. Rav Safra says, look, and again, remember that Rav Chiya had a whole seminar on ribit, which they turned into a series of braitot that became known as ribit devei Rav Chiya. So Rav Safra, during the course of that period where they were dealing with ribit, Rav Safra wrote that, okay, you got a Mishnah over here that keeps it very simple. I mean, but the bottom line is, we could construct cases that would aser anything and be mater anything, depending on how you phrase the deal. There's sometimes you could say both the mocher and the lokeach are mutter. Pa'amim, that both are aser. Pa'amim, that the mocher is mutter and the lokech is aser. Pa'amim, that the lokech is mutter and the mocher is aser. Says Rabbi, yeah. Okay, great. Now, you want me to explain? I'll explain it. Oni Rabbi Batre, okay. Let's go through it, because it's really very simple. Pa'amim shishneim mutarim. How could it be that they would both be allowed to eat the perot, where the deal is constructed as a prorated sale? You pay 20% down, you get 20% of the perot. When you finish the rest, you'll get the other 80% of the perot. Then the seder will be entirely yours. Okay, so as long as everyone keeps to within the prorated amount, whatever it was, if it's 50-50, 20-80, whatever it is, both of them are mutter to eat perot. There are times when both are us. So yeah, we know what that is. That is exactly the case of Rav Hanan, where you said it's going to be retroactive, so anything that's retroactive, keeps us hanging until we know the dispensation of the field. So no matter who eats it, depending on what happens in the end, may be actually paying ribit. So that's therefore both are us, and the only thing we can do is put it into escrow. So that would be the case where you say, let's do it retroactively. Sometimes the mocher is mutter, the lokeach is asur. Where's there? It will be yours when you finally pay. So then the mocher is allowed to eat, because until that time it's entirely his. The lokeach is asur, because then he's using his down payment as a way of being paid for perot. Meanwhile, that means that the seller was willing to pay ribit for the down payment money as a loan. No, you can't do that. Pamim shalokeach mutar, sometimes the lokeach only is mutar. And the mocher is usher. Where would that be? How could I create a deal that would cause the mocher to be usher to eat and yet allow the lokech to be mutar? It's because he constructed the deal by saying, Kni me'achshav, v'zuzoi lahavi halva'a gabach. You know what? You buy actually now. And what I want you to do is, I'm going to look at your money as a halva'a. So in that case, the deal is already done. It belongs to the lokeach. So since it belongs to the lokeach, if the mocher is now going to eat the perot, it's because of the fact that, well, you haven't finished paying me yet. I allowed you to pay me 12 months later. It's only fair that I should eat the perot and not deduct anything. Ha ha. So in other words, it's ribit. Mashenken, there's no tzad at which you could get his money back, in which case it would turn out to be that he's getting the perot in return for a loan to the seller. He didn't allow that to happen. He said, no, you take possession, the field is entirely yours. All that I have against you is a tviyah in court. Okay, so then it's your field. Eat gesundheit. There's no way that it could come. Lidei ribit. Mantana shnehem asurin. But according to whom would we indeed say that the perot need to be placed in escrow? Because remember, by definition, if we constructed a case, as you said, in which something is going to be defined retroactively by its ultimate dispensation, so then you're dealing with, obviously, tzad echad beribit. That's what the words retroactively immediately ring in your head. Because retroactively, we'll deal with either one direction or the other direction. Either this was money that you paid that's going to be returned to you, in which case we'll view it as a loan. Or this is money that you paid in order to own a field, which led somebody else was eating because you didn't finish paying. So you're saying, well, there's one way that it'll turn out that the mocher was paying rebate, and there's one way that it'll turn out that the loker was paying rebate. Ah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's mutter. That's called tzadechad berebate. So what's the problem? So who's the Tana, therefore, that says that we do have a problem? Clearly, says the Gemara, whoever it is, it's the local Rabbi Yehuda. Because he, Rabbi Yehuda, amat tzadechad berebate mutar. Now, the last case was Mishken lo bayit, Mishken lo sader, and he says to him, Likishitir tselem ochran. Here is a twist on the last case. He makes a deal to give him a mashkanta, and he says to him, if you decide, now you have a right to sell, obviously, but I'm telling you that if you end up wanting to sell, you can't sell and then pay me back. I want rights of first refusal. And not only do I want rights of first refusal, that you have to offer it to me, you have to offer it to me at price X, which may be beneath the market value. And if I want to buy at that price, then I buy from you, and you can't sell it to anybody else. So what about there? So if the lender says to him, look, if you want now, this is, I mean, not the lender, it's the mashkanta holder, the seller. He was the one that he took back the certain amount of money in, as a mortgage, right? In exchange for having a mashkanta against the bayit that he sold, or against the sutta that he sold. So he says to him, in that case, that in the event, I'm selling this to you, that in the event that you're going to sell, and I have money, so then I want to be able to buy it. So if he says, bidamim halalu, it's aser. If he says, I want right of first refusal, ishavehem, then it's mutter. That's interesting. So, man tana bidamim halalu aser. Who would be the man yomar who says that if it's for this amount of money, then it's aser? So what he says over there is, I'll add above and beyond what you owe me on the field in order to cover the amount that you paid down, but it could be less than the actual value on the open market. So who's that man de Omar? Again, it's all Shalok Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Ravuna, it would be also Amar Ravuna Rabbi Shalok Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he said Tzad Echad Beribit is not a problem. Now this is obviously a Tzad Echad Beribit, because I don't have to sell it. It's up to me. You're agreeing. If you decide to sell it, I want the right of first refusal. Okay, fine. I didn't decide to sell it. So you've constructed a deal you're going to make money on. Maybe I'll decide to sell it. It's up to me. So therefore, by both definitions of tzadechad beribit, either Rashi or Tosfos, who's to say that this deal has anything to do with beribit? You're saying it could come to give you an advantage. If it does, so it does. Now, the case in the Mishnah as constructed was Makarlo Bayit, and he says, or Makarlo Sadeh. So there in the Mishnah, it was 3 years. How about if he says, Likishiyuli ma'otach zireimli? How about if he says, I'm selling this to you on condition that if I end up getting the money, now that's the same case as the case in the Mishnah, right, except in the inverse. I'm selling and I'm saying, okay, but if I get money, I'm actually paying you. I'm not taking a loan, which was the case in the Mishnah. Here I'm actually selling and taking my money. But I'm saying at the time, if I get enough money, give it back to me. What's the problem? Problem is, of course, that in that case, that he does buy it back. So then it turns out that what he really did is he created an elaborate loan and pretended it was a sale. Right? Because he doesn't have any money now. Let's say he doesn't have any money now. He's going to be getting money in a year. He needs now a bridge loan for something that he's dealing with. So what he knows he can't tell anybody, lend me the money and I'll give you interest. So what he says is, buy my field. He doesn't want to sell his field. He says, buy my field on a condition that I can buy the field back in a year. And meanwhile, of course, it's your field. You make all that money. Aha, the guy says, okay, fine, it's worth it for me to buy the field for a year and get all the money back because I'll be making money on it. So in other words, he's lending money for rebate. That's what it boils down to. Except it's constructed as a sale. So what's the deal over there? The halacha is that it's usur. But if this buyer says, hey, I want you to know I'm a great guy. If you decide you want to buy the field back, I'm happy to give it back to you, you know? So that would be fine. If Amar lo, if on the other hand he says to him that, listen, if you get any money, I know how much you love this field, I'm happy to give it back to you, give me the money. Then it's mutar. So first of all, we don't understand clearly what the difference between the Rashi and Seif. We'll get to that in a moment. Mantana, but first, obviously this is not going to work, I'll leave the review there, right? Because over here, since it's up to you to turn it into a loan with rebate by buying it back, And if you don't buy it back, it's just a straight-out sale. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, that's called tzadachat b'ribit. Tzadachat b'ribit is mutar. So it's clearly shalok Rabbi Yehuda. So again, points out Ravuna Rebbe Yeshua, this is the lok Rabbi Yehuda. The e Rabbi Yehuda amar tzadachat b'ribit is mutar. Now, could you explain to me the difference between a resh and a seif? I mean, who cares who said it? If you have tzad echad b'ribit is asur. So if the seller says it, it's asur. If the buyer says it's okay, you can get it back whenever you want, it should also be asur. Because, I mean, the buyer is saying that we'll turn it into a loan. Why is there any difference? Amar Rav, I mean, why is there any difference? The seif is the omar lemidaita. I mean, it's a big difference. The resh is the omar lemidaito. Over here, the seller is the one who defines. He says, look, if I want to buy it back, you have no choice, and I'll sue you. But the safer says, I'm going to be a nice guy and sell it to you. Go sue me. You bring me the money, and I say, well, I thought I was going to be a nice guy, but I really like the fee.
Is it a repurchase price?
Same thing. I'll give you your money back. I'll give you your money back. That's why it's a loan. Otherwise, it's just a new sale. That's exactly what we said before. If you make a deal, here's the price for the right of a first refusal, then it's usur. But if you don't give him a price, so then it's just a resale. Why? If I meet the market value, fine. If not, not. I mean, then it's not a problem. That was the case of Mashke.
Why does he get said about that? What benefit
does he get from the... Rebus. He's getting paid. But meanwhile, he made 20% on his money by selling all the field's produce. He made money for the year. The guy, he lent the guy money in exchange for the rights to make all the money off of this guy's field. They wrote, exactly. Yeah, that's the point. Okay, so therefore, it's not enforceable. If it was midaita, it's not enforceable. And if it's not enforceable, it's not really a tanai in the deal. In which case, over there, everybody is made. Forget about Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody is made that, look, you know, if I decide I want to sell it back to you, I'll sell it back to you. But there's nothing that remotely resembles a loan because nobody could press a button to cancel the sale, basically. It's going to be a new sale no matter what. Om Rabbi, Haman the Masik Zuzi the Ravita Bakari Kazakiti Arba Griva Zuza Bashuka. Vyovlu Iu Kamisha Kimafkinamine Arba Mafkinamine the Ida Kuzula is a Kamezu Gabe. Rovam are not true. Kamisha Mafkinamine to be Korabatora's Ravita Atoyade. Another Makwokit would be in a case Om Rabbi Haman the Masik Arba Zuzi Ravita Bakari Vyovla Glima Begavayu Kimafkinamine Arba Mafkinamine. It's cash, not the glima. Rav Amar, no, it's the glima. My time at Yehek Lo Lemro, glima the miyachse, v'koi is a glima the ravito. Omar Rav Ayman, the match trace is the ravito b'chavre. And in exchange, agale chatser, the mitgarabi asara, and they agreed on a price of tracer in exchange for the ravito. So ki mafkinimine, the full tracer mafkinimine in court. It's not fair. I mean, why can he say that the reason is because I figured I'm not paying for it anyway, so it's kamishtar shali. But I want to pay what everybody else would pay. Answers, Ravina, mishum de omale, tough. Savarta vekibalta. Marbin ala sakarvi in marbin ala mecha, ketzat. Then it's a seller lechodesh. That's fine. But if mechala etasadev amarlo imi achshav ata noten li arei shachah be'elav zuz, and im legoren et v'shneim asar amane, then it's asur. Maishlam reisha, maishlam seifa. Rav reviyaz v'amitavayo, that's because schirut ena mishtalemet elav besof. Therefore, kibin elomata zimin elamidva, how can it be agar nata? It's not agar nata, that's its value. Mishlu dachishavi. So why is he telling him less? That's he's selling it on sale. Because he wants cash. Whereas the sefer, since we're dealing with a zvininu, ubayla mishko domi miyachsha. So if he gives it to him for more, it's agar nata layum vyas. That means a tarsha is the case of the Mishnah, isn't it? Is what its name implies. Hatam katzle. If it's katzle, How can you say it's been quiet? But Hachalo Katzle. Omer Papa Tarshadi D is definitely mutter. I mean, my time. Shichroi lo posit. Zuzi lo tzarichna. I'm giving a public service allowing the pubs to open on the prices of the summer. So over there, it's the Gavin the Mil to Gabilokeach. Omer of Shish Bere the Revidi of Papa, and who says it's all about you? My Chazimad the Kaza Bata di Dach. Zil Bata di Yehu. As far as they see it, Ilo Havilo Zuzi, Avishak lo Kiashka. Now that they don't have Zuzi, Asher Zuzi Shaklik Yukil Lakame. Om Reb Chama, well, I'll tell you one thing, Tarsha Didi is for sure mut. Because my time up. Nechalahu, the lake of Rishuti, the Golech of the Gazi Shafkilu Mikhsa, Venokalu Shuka, not to mention the fact that anyway all of the risks of getting the furniture to Finland from China is on me. The Ilchatak Reb Chama, that Tarsha is 100% okay. Hilchatak Rebbe Elazar, that Rebbe Kitzutz Yotzi B'dayonim. The Hilchatak Rebbe Yaneh, the Omer Mali Yen Mali Dameyan, and that it's mutter to trade in commodities. Machalo et asadeva natan lo mikzat amin v'marlo em batay shetirtza avei ma'ot v'tolet shelcha asur. Hilveo asadeva amarlo imi atan oten li mikad v'at shalosh shanim. Arei u shali, arei u shalo. In fact, kach hayabaitis ben zonin osel pichachami. Now, who would be allowed to be ochel perot? Rav Huna amar mocher ochel perot. Rav Anan says, nobody. Meshalshin et haperot, v'lo pligin. Hadi omer lachim maitita kni. V'yodan omer lachim maitita kni me'achshar. Tani Rav Safra beribit tevei Rav Chiya, pa'amim shishneim mutarim, pa'amim shishneim asurim, pa'amim shamocher mutar v'lokeach asur, u'pa'amim shalokeach mutar v'mocher asur. Oni Rav Batrei. Okay, let me explain it. Pa'amim shishneim mutarim, where he says, kni kishir zuz chas, it's prorated. Pa'amim shishneim asurim, Yomale lechim maitita kni me'achshar. So then you have to put it into escrow. Pa'amim that the mocher is mutar and lokech is asur, where he says beferish l'chimaitita k'ni at that time. And pa'amim shalokech mutar and the mocher is asur, where he says just the opposite. The whole thing is yours now, whether you pay or not. K'ni miyakshav. The zuzi that you owe, la'avi halva agabach. So man tanashneim asuridom revenimredi v'shudolok Rav Yehuda. Because according to Rav Yehuda, tzadachat beribit is mutar. We don't know how this is going to work out. Mishken lo bayit, mishken lo sadev amar lo, likish et tirtze lo mochram lo timkreim elo li, b'damim alalu. Osir, if he says b'shavehem, not b'damim alalu, mut. Man tana b'damim alalu asur, om revin, rev shudu, look Rav Yehuda. Di Rav Yehuda mer tzadachat beribit mutar. Machar lo bayit, machar lo sadev amar lo, likishi yuli ma'ot achzirim li. Asur. But if the buyer says that likish yulacha ma'ot atzirem lacha mutar, mantanam revin revin shadok rabbiro metzarech rabbiro mutar, maishna resha maishna seifa, omer resha omer le midato, seifa le omer le midate.